and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, November 13th, 2020.
Bitcoin's holding pretty steady, 16,245, while Ethereum is up about 3.5% to 471.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. Up first, Ethereum. Pat, what is going on?
Yeah, so this happened over the last couple of days. We missed it yesterday because we'd already recorded. It's kind of a mess. The very high level is that there's a bunch of different nodes out there that are Ethereum nodes. Probably the biggest that's used by about 80% of the providers in the world is Geth. Geth is a Go-based Ethereum implementation. You know, all of the different blockchains have competing nodes. You know, you have the Bitcoin Core node, and then for a while you had the Bitcoin Cash node, but Bitcoin ABC originally was a fork of that. Same goes with Ethereum. There are agreed upon consensus rules within Ethereum. And there was the Geth implementation had a bug in how you could modify memory when you were working on smart contracts, when you pulled memory, how you could modify it in a certain way. They had this bug for about a year. And it had not been exploited, nothing had changed. Essentially, this bug would have caused Because this bug caused a different sort of result of the smart contract execution, this would cause a consensus shift if it got executed. Now what's sort of interesting is that it's a bit confusing too exactly who it would have broken consensus from. But it looks like the way that I kind of interpret all this is that the old Geth node essentially had this bug. So if there had been an exploit of this bug, Geth would have forked off by itself and all of the other nodes would have kept on going. So the developers of Geth quietly fixed that bug. And we'll talk about that in a second because it's really important that's a very important part of the story. They quietly fixed it and released it into a normal patch upgrade. The way patch upgrades work for the vast majority of people, like if you're not in software, you don't have to worry about this ever in your life. But when you are worried about software and you are releasing it on a cadence, there's like three different pieces. If you've ever seen a version number, it'll be like 12.2.1. And the way when you do that, they're kind of saying like, hey, 12.2.1, if the one changes, so it goes from 12.2.1 to 12.2.2, that's a minor change. You don't really have to do it. You probably should over time, but like there's no real breaking changes in there. If you go from 12.2.1 to 12.3.1, that's going to be a pretty major change. You should do that quickly. And if you obviously go from 12 to 13, that's a very major change. Lots of breaking changes, all that kind of stuff. So they did this as a very minor change, and they announced it as a non-critical update. And that's where the story gets really interesting, is because what happened was that Infura did not upgrade. Neither did a bunch of other services. So when, you know, there is a cost to upgrading software. You don't tend to think about this for cloud-based services because the cloud is like, it's a cloud, it's running out there. But there's absolutely a cost for upgrading software, and it involves man hours to make sure that it works and all. And, you know, it takes the potential downtime while you're actually doing the upgrade. Like there's all this cost to doing an upgrade. And so if you don't have to do it, service providers will tend not to do it. And especially right now where you have an enormous, you know, there's an enormous Ethereum 2.0 upgrade sitting on the horizon that everyone knows they're going to have to go and do. So everyone is like all of the major providers being really cautious not to make many changes to their infrastructure. They're just waiting for 2.0 to come. So they look at a change like this as a minor change. And it, you know, because it did not mention any major security issues or major consensus issues, everyone just sort of bypassed it. So the patch goes out. Someone did realize that there was an exploit in there. Now, it had gone a full year since when the bug was released to when it got patched. It had gone a full year. But someone did realize it, and they actually triggered this bug to happen. Now, because a bunch of the major providers, Infura is the big one. So Infura is a SaaS provider that provides Ethereum support for most of the major tool, like most of the major tools out there. A lot of the dApps that you use every day use it. MetaMask uses it. They are the backbone of the Ethereum ecosystem. They host these nodes, and then you can call you basically from your software, you can call into them and get information about the Ethereum blockchain. So essentially, Infura realized very quickly that they were out of sync with the primary, with the main Ethereum blockchain, or that there was a hard fork that essentially happened between their nodes and the other nodes that were out there running. And when they realized that, they had to shut down. That hit a lot of different, a lot of different exchanges had to shut down. Everyone who works with Ethereum had no idea what was going on and had to essentially shut down. Now, this is a really tricky question. This happens all the time. It is not uncommon for a serious bug to be fixed on the DL. That happens quite frequently. It's happened with Zcash. It's happened with Bitcoin at different times. You know, it's one of the best ways. If no one has found the security vulnerability in your code yet, if you can sneak a fix out real quick and then you can get 51% of miners to adopt it, then you're in pretty good shape. Obviously, that did not go well here. The way that other industries have dealt with this in the past is to move towards more centralization. And obviously, that's a big no-no. But the way that you will tend to do this is you will have a list of the major providers. And I used to work at Cisco, so I can sort of speak to this. Like, there's, if Cisco had really, really bad bugs, what they would do is they would call up all of the major backbones in the entire country. So they would not they would not publicly release information about the bug. They would call up all the major backbone providers, all the major ISPs. They call up Microsoft, Google, all these guys that had their, thousands of their routers. They would tell them about the bug. They would tell them when it was going to be patched, and they would have them all sign NDAs. The day that it went out, everyone would patch it essentially simultaneously. And then they would just close it a couple days or a week or a month later. You could do that with Ethereum. You could set up an industry coalition that was sort of a trusted coalition where you could talk to the people directly and tell them about this and disclose it. But that kind of goes flies in the face of what we all believe in. So I don't know. I don't exactly know how this is all going to shake out. I tend to think that that's what's going to happen. I mean, there are a top 10 set of companies that are powering the DeFi and Ethereum ecosystem right now. So you absolutely can identify those companies. You can set up a coalition and you can do bug sharing, private, DL, like quiet, security sensitive bug sharing with them with pretty much, no real issues. But it's not going to last long term because we all hope that more decentralization will happen. And with Ethereum 2.0, that's sort of the plan. And you would also probably miss out on a lot of Chinese or other groups that maybe they wouldn't be comfortable inviting, or that they would, that they would not invite for just language purposes or whatever. I mean, there's all these different issues that go into it, making these decisions. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over time. I tend to think that Geth did not exactly do the right thing here. I think they should have launched it. If you have a breaking change like this, you should launch as a major release, with a critical fix in it, even if you don't say what the critical fix is. And you should certainly ping the top 10 users of your software and tell them about it. So that's what's going on. Things have settled down. The hard fork kind of has gone away at this point, more or less. I'm not sure how they unwound everything, to be super honest. Different people have dealt with it different ways, but everything did more or less get unwound relatively simply. So that's where we are.
Wow. Crazy. All right. So next, PayPal reaches 85% of Binance.us's volume in just the first month at 25 million.
Yeah. So let's be clear about the metric we're using here. It's not guaranteed that this is PayPal, but essentially over the course of 1 month, Paxos went from $5 million a day volume to $25 million a day volume. And that happened to line up with the time period that they signed their partnership with PayPal. So this is conjecture, but I think it is relatively reasonable conjecture. This is incredibly, I saw someone in a subreddit somewhere say all these PayPal people are driving the price of crypto up. And I'm like, that is BS. That's absolutely not happening. I take back my mental note to myself. If that's really the amount of volume that PayPal is bringing, A, I'm shocked. Like, I'm legitimately shocked. I thought that this was going to be a long tail niche product for 10 years on PayPal. I just never would have guessed people would use it. But if it is, then absolutely. If this, like, look at these numbers, you could convince me, you could absolutely convince me that PayPal has been the driver for the price over the last couple of weeks. Between the presidential election, all the uncertainty in the world right now, and then PayPal getting in and bringing $20 million a day of new volume. That's not a huge amount, but it's still, that's enough to move up markets. That looks like that's where we've seen the spike. So go PayPal. I'm on board.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a good one.